Our first reading this morning is from Luke 11, verses 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then our second reading is from Exodus 35, verses 21 to 35. And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or the other durable leather, brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers."
Thank you, Lindsay. I don't know if she'll forgive me for the first time she volunteered to read for me, I gave her Exodus. But I told her my secret to pronouncing Hebrew words. Are you ready for this? How do you pronounce Hebrew names? Confidently. Before I get started, I wanted to tell you about one prayer request. Pastor George is the Kenyan pastor that lives at the mission compound that we have in East Kano, Kenya, and he helps run all of our ministries while we're not there. And he was hit by a car yesterday and had to have brain surgery this morning, a three-hour surgery. He fractured his skull, and they had to relieve pressure on the brain from that. He is talking, and the surgery went very well, but we really need to be praying for him. It feels like a spiritual attack on the ministry that God is calling us to do in Kenya. And so I spoke with Pastor Job several times yesterday, and James and Fulgona have been in touch with George and his wife, Deborah, and you can be praying for her as well as she tries to care for him and their kids and everything else that's going on there. So let me pray for us as we begin, and let's pray for Pastor George as well. Holy God, we thank you that you are a God who isn't just out there somewhere, but a God who wants to dwell with your people. You created this beautiful tabernacle to dwell and speak with and be present with your people. And you now call us to be your tabernacle, your holy temple here on earth to welcome people into your presence. Lord, we thank you for all the work Pastor George has done to welcome young people and old people into your presence and to be a gift to this church and to all of the people of East Kano. Lord, we thank you for sparing his life yesterday And we pray that you would continue to knit him back together, knit his skull and his mind back together, help him recover just miraculously quickly. Lord, reveal your healing power to him, to his family, and to all the people of East Kano. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you think about heroes of the Bible, Bezalel is probably not the name that comes up first, is it? This is a really random, obscure person, it seems like, but he is one of the few people in the Old Testament that is referred to as having gifts of the Spirit. As we're talking about this is our fifth week and final week of our Gifts of the Spirit series, we want to highlight this person who put his gifts and talents to work, to change the way the Israelites worshiped in the desert. If you will take out your pew Bibles for a minute, I want to show you something, and it's show and tell time. So take out your pew Bibles and turn to Exodus, the second book of the Bible, and look for Exodus chapter 25. And as you get to 25, I want you to start just glancing at how many details there are about building the tabernacle. So Moses is on the Mount Sinai, and God starts his big download, so the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. And in 25, he starts talking about what the tabernacle should look like. Now flip over, so you see 25, and you see 26, and you see 27, and you see 28, and 29, and 30 are all about what the tabernacle is supposed to look like. There's incredible detail there. Everything from what the plates for the showbread should look like to exactly how to build the lampstand and how big and how many cubits wide and tall and high, and the building of the ark and the altar and all of these different pieces. Now, if God gave you all of those assignments, five chapters worth, would you know how to do that yourself? It would be like somebody telling me how to build a car. First, build a combustion engine. A what? You mean the place that when I turn the key, something happens? God is giving all of these details to Moses, but Moses is not a craftsman. Moses doesn't know how to do all of this stuff. And so at the beginning of chapter 31, God says, don't worry, you don't have to do this yourself. I am raising up Bezalel and his companion Oholiab, who will be the people that will lead this work. And I have specially gifted them with the Holy Spirit. This is not just human skill. This is gifting with the Holy Spirit to work with these people, to be able to teach other people so that the whole people of the Israelites can come together and create this incredible sacred tabernacle for the worship of God. God gives all of these details, and do you remember what happens next? Yeah, at the end of chapter 31, there's a thing called the golden calf. You can just imagine Moses comes down from the mountain, and he's so full of the Holy Spirit and just so excited about creating this presence, and he gets back. God tells him, you'd better get back now because your people are a mess. And he comes down off the mountain, and rather than creating a sacred space for the tabernacle, they've created a golden calf, an idol. And say, Aaron even says to the people, this is the God that rescued you up out of Egypt. It is heartbreaking to think how far away the people strayed from doing what God wanted them to do, to worship one God, to not have any other gods before me. And Moses is so frustrated, he breaks the tablets there, and he goes back up on the mountain, and now he's interceding, because it sounds like he's ready to wipe these people off the face of the earth, but Moses intercedes for them, and God gives him another set of tablets and restores the covenant. And so he comes back down, and now you see a very, very humble people who are ready and willing to help, because they have seen the evil in their own hearts. And now, when Moses gives them the call, you see in chapter 35 that Lindsay just read, you see them respond in a very different way. It says, everyone who is willing, both men and women alike, came and gave everything they had. Jewelry and wood and yarn, and I love that it's everything from, it's like the soup to nuts list. It's like all the really super expensive stuff and goat's hair. It's like, if you don't have anything cool to give, at least collect hair from your goat. But that was the sacred to the Lord, all of it, everything from the fanciest stuff to the lowest stuff, all of it God could literally weave together to make this beautiful tabernacle that he was creating. And he set aside Bezalel and Aholiab. Bezalel, his name, I love his name, it means in the shadow of God. It's like within the covering of God. It's that protective sense. And Bezalel was going to create a covering for the Ark of the Covenant. He was going to create this safe space where people could come and meet God. And God specially gifted him intentionally so that he could follow all the instructions Moses gave him. Imagine the difference between me trying to make a combustion engine and somebody who really knew how to do that, a mechanical engineer or a car mechanic would be like, okay, great. And I'm like, I don't know what this means, but here's what you need. And I would list all the parts, and that person would just know what it was supposed to do and how it was supposed to fit together. Bezalel took all of these instructions, and he puts together the most beautiful space that these people could imagine. Again, they're living in the desert. They're living in tents in the wilderness. They're having to rely on rocks to provide water. And yet God has this beautiful image of a tabernacle to put together, to knit together for the people of God. So many people brought so much stuff that they ended up having, the Bezalel and Aholiab came to Moses in chapter 36 and said, okay, that's enough. You guys have given us enough. It says they brought new offerings every morning, morning after morning after morning. And they finally said, we need to get the work done, and we have enough, so make them stop. Can you imagine a church having so much of given an offering that they had to say, okay, guys, that's enough? Probably not a very common practice, but God did that in the hearts of these people. These are the people, again, that just a few chapters earlier had worshipped the golden calf. But God showed up and completely changed their hardened hearts and set them free from that idolatry and gave them a desire to worship the Lord and create a space where they could worship God. Bezalel's actually, if you remember the moment where they first go into the wilderness and they send out spies to go into the land of milk and honey, and two spies came back faithful, Joshua and Caleb. Bezalel is the great-grandson of Caleb. It says, and actually he's mentioned in 2 Chronicles as they're going through, you know, all those genealogies that you're like, la, 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 la. But that's one of those moments where you see this beautiful connection. Bezalel probably was pretty young. One estimate I heard of a rabbinic tradition has him as like a teenager. And yet God said, this one is uniquely gifted and talented. This one can teach the others how to do it. And not just one craft, not just jewels, or not just weaving. It was also carpentry and all of the other elements. This person, possibly a teenager, was gifted by God to do all of these different things. Think about as they built the tabernacle, what that looked like. He calls up, you know, women who are skillful weavers and people who are good at making jewelry, people who are good at making clothes, make the garments for the priests, people who are good with gold or making that beautiful ark with the acacia wood inside and then gold on the outside, the cherubim on the very top of it, to create the place. God says, I will meet you. It's called the mercy seat. I will meet you at the mercy seat. And created the beautiful Holy of Holies and the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people. But God did all of this because he wanted to dwell with his people. And it took all of the people to create a dwelling place for God. When we think about all of these different elements and how all the pieces come together, we see what it looks like for us as the body of Christ to come together to create a dwelling place of God. The temple, the tabernacle, is no longer one location. It's no longer in Jerusalem. It is in every place where Christians gather. Every place where God pulls us together to worship him and to proclaim his truth. Paul uses this image over and over, and he emphasizes every single time he does this that it takes all of us to build the building. When I was working for World Vision, somebody confronted me one time. It's like, are you trying to save the world all by yourself? I had this, you know, constant drive. I've got to fix it all myself. And they're like, Carolyn, this takes, you know, thousands of people, millions of people around the world doing this. You cannot do this by yourself, even in the little region that I was trying to work on. And I was, the scripture that God gave me after that person called me on my stuff was in 1 Corinthians 3. It says, there is one who plants and one who waters, who have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building. It was like God was reminding me, it's like not all about you. It's like every one of us is important to create what God is doing, a lush garden, a building that is being raised up on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say later in that same chapter, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys the temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. You together are that temple. All of us together. It is not as lovely as this building is, as faithful as the people were who built it. This is not the temple of God. You all are the temple of God. It is all of us together becoming a place, a sacred place where God can dwell amongst us. You remember the beginning of John, the Gospel of John. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the same Word, the same image of God dwelling among the people back in Exodus, in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is the one who comes and dwells among us. And He, as He lives in each of our hearts, we together are created to be the temple of God. Ephesians, Paul uses the same image again. Ephesians 2, in Him the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. And later in Ephesians 4, we've talked on this already, where he's talking about spiritual gifts specifically. He says it's to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We all have gifts. We all have things that we can offer, whether it is bringing jewelry and brooches or wood or goat's hair, all of it can be used. It doesn't matter what your gifts are, if they're the really glamorous, upfront, shiny gifts, or they're the ones that are faithful and behind the scenes. All of them are gifts that can be used to the building up of the temple. And that is what God wants to see. As each one of us gives our gifts uniquely, God uses that to create a beautiful place for people to come into His presence. So what does this all mean for us as a congregation? What does this look like? When we come in different ways and with different people, you know, some people are prophets, some are have mercy, some have no mercy at all but have leadership skills, and everything in between. God wants all of us to be unified around one purpose in our diversity. Wayne Grudem, a theologian, says, differing gifts draw us together because we are forced to depend on each other. Isn't that the truth? We cannot do, all of us, one thing. But if we depend on each other, and if we have to depend on each other, that's when we see the unity in the body of Christ. Yesterday was our amazing rummage sale. Thank you so much for all of you who brought jewelry and brooches and all the way to the goat's hair of empty grocery bags and everything in between. Thank you for all of you who worked last week and especially yesterday in the big sale. It was amazing to watch all of you come together. It was a microcosm of this image of the temple of God being built up. There's some of you who have the gift of hot dogs. And we are grateful for the gift of hot dogs. We sold 240 hot dogs yesterday. That's a lot of people. And not everybody got a hot dog. So you can imagine how many people we had coming through. We had people that had the gift of being able to count money quickly as people went through the cashier's desk. We had the gift of moving large pieces of furniture, which is not one of my gifts. And we had people with the gift of mercy. We had this precious woman who came to us with her kids in tow. She had just come out of a domestic violence shelter, and she needed to create a new home for her family. And she had nothing, nothing. And so people with the gift of mercy saw her and recognized the image of God in her and said, let us help you. And so we were able to just give her a number of furniture items and just, you know, she needed silverware and glasses and cups. It was that bad, and we were able to gift that to her. It was amazing to see the body of Christ coming together joyfully to serve, and we all needed each other. No one person could have pulled this off, but together we were able to do what we have identified as our third part of our vision statement, to create a welcoming, hospitable environment for relationships to grow. People created a welcoming, hospitable environment just by smiling and helping and welcoming and helping people feel comfortable in a church building. There are people that never go into church buildings ever, and for them to be able to come in and feel safe and welcome and enjoy their time here, that's a major step. And we can pray that as people think about that later, that they will say, you know what, that church had something going. Like, there's something special about that place. I want to know more. Pray that we can continue to build relationships that were established there, and that we can show them grace and faithfulness and love and joy. So we are each dependent on each other, being built up in unity. The second purpose that we have in becoming the tabernacle, the temple of God, is to share God with other people, to welcome people in. As I said, yesterday was a great example of that. We are creating a space where people can come and meet the Lord, to say, wow, what is it that you have? Not to be like the culture around us that is angry and bitter and divisive, but instead to come together in all of our diversity and be able to say, we are unified by one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself and died for us and lives forever. He is the purpose. We are all on that same page when we have the mind of Christ united together. And people can tell that. Jesus says in John, they will know you are Christians by your love. Are we a church known for our love for each other and for those outside of our walls? That's our challenge and our call. And it constantly takes humility and repentance and forgiving one another and forgiving one another. And did I mention forgiving one another? And praying and praying and praying. And God will dwell in us, and he will shine his light through us. The third reason why we are being built up together as a temple, as a tabernacle for the Lord, is the main purpose. You know, remember what the chief end of humans are? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. We are being built up for worship. We share the gospel for worship because God wants to bring all people unto him so that every tongue confess and knee shall bow and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord forever and ever. We are being built up for worship. And a worship that we can't even begin to imagine, the power of all of the people all over the world coming together to worship. I really wish I could take every single one of you to a worship service in Kenya. You've never experienced anything like it, but these people put their heart, soul, mind, and strength into worship. It is the most powerful, beautiful thing. Just imagine how we will be able to worship with them and with everyone else in the world. All together worshiping God. And the celebration, you cannot even begin to imagine. We are being brought together to worship, to come into the presence of God. Not a God who is far off, but a God who dwells right here. A God who throws open the doors and doesn't look at us and go, you again? Doesn't look at us as soiled and dirty and worthless. He looks at us and sees the righteous robes of Jesus Christ that have been given to us through his grace and his death on the cross. And he says, welcome home, my child. I've been waiting for you. Come and celebrate with God. That is the welcome that we receive at the table. We come and we are able to share communion together because it was Christ's blood that was shed and Christ's body that was broken for us. He has paid the price and he longs to welcome us in. Brothers and sisters, you are the children of God, and he delights in you. Psalm 18 says, he rescued us because he delights in us. He throws those doors open, and he says, come, my children, come to the table. Let me pray for us. Holy God, we thank you for who you are, that you are a God who sees us and throws the doors open and welcomes us in. Lord, we do pray that you would forgive us for all the stuff of our lives that is not honoring to you. And Lord, we pray that you would put your righteous robes. It is not our righteousness. We have nothing but rags, but you put your robes, the robes bought by Jesus Christ on the cross, upon us. And you look at us as your dearly beloved children, and you run to us, throw your arms open wide, and draw us into your heart. Lord, we thank you for all of your gifts and blessings, and we pray that we at MLEPC, we, your body around the world, would be gathered together to create a beautiful tabernacle of worship for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.